the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio. This is ESPN 1000, WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000, and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Happy Friday to everyone. Waddle and I back on the air. Waddle's in the First Midwest Bank studio. I'm at ESPN Milwaukee, not far from the Deer District, not far from Bulls and Bucks tonight.
Lose our number.
First time I'm going to be in that new building. Can't wait.
You allowed
what
to?
What were you saying, Waddle?
I said lose our number. How's the relationship right now? You guys okay? You and the wife? The most important relationship of your life?
It was surprisingly good. It was, she picked me up yesterday, like I told you, we valeted the car at Chicago Cut. And when she picked me up at the side of the building, I got a really, really dirty look. And a pause, sort of looking me up and down, how dare you, this and that. And then things kind of went back to normal.
Uh-huh.
We had a great dinner. We had a good night. We had a good night's sleep. And I heard Carmen and Yurko discuss this. No one pooped the bed yesterday. It was a good night for all of us. Sheets being changed.
Which sweater did she like the sweater that you chose?
She didn't give a
Right. That's why I wondered why you brought two with you, because I didn't think there was enough of a difference between them that your wife would actually have any type of opinion one versus the other.
Sometimes it's just a me thing, you know. Okay. Sometimes it's just get your confidence. Whatever you feel sexy, wear it, right? Isn't that what Joe Madden used to say?
I guess so. Did you feel sexy last night at Chicago Cut?
No, I felt great because I was content.
Yeah.
And you know me, I go to town. We had the bacon appetizer. We had some crab cakes. We had some shrimp cocktail. What else did we have? Then I had the filet with a couple of lobster tails. We had some Brussels sprouts. We had some macaroni and cheese. And then for burgers, we surprised Burger there. It was his 50th birthday party.
Time out. And you're telling me, despite all of that, neither one of you pooped
the bed? No one
pooped the bed. Wow.
Nobody. Success. Great success, right?
It is, yeah.
And then for dessert, Burger got like the flan brought over the big dessert platter. It was basically like three scoops of ice cream, a big slice of chocolate cake. There was a big slice of the Reese's peanut butter cupcake. And then there was the Oreo cookie mint ice cream cake. And I go for the two latter ones.
I have no idea what you just said, because obviously I'm completely a moron when it comes to dessert. Yeah.
Can Abdallah and Bleka interpret for Waddle on the desserts?
They were great.
All right, cool.
Anytime you incorporate a Reese's peanut butter cup into a dessert, it's amazing.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Like Sylvie he had like three desserts there.
Two. I basically hogged the peanut butter cup and the Oreo cookie mint ice cream cake.
Well, there's a shock. It's someone else's birthday, and you're actually the one that is eating the majority of the dessert. That works well.
They didn't really want it, Waddle. Look, it wasn't like I didn't offer them. They were enjoying the ice cream, and there was carrot cake there, too. And Burger, like a true 50-year-old, went for the carrot cake first.
It's one of those,
dude. That's a good call.
Yeah, you say they weren't interested. It's because you looked at them and said, you don't want that, do you? Like, you set the tone by looking at them and saying, you don't want any of that dessert, do you?
No, it's like being ready for a fantasy football draft, and you know you want to draft the certain player, and they reach for something who would have been there in the second round. That's what Burger does when choosing carrot cake. I'm not saying carrot cake is a bad selection. I'm not saying that carrot cake is a bad dessert. But I think when you have a platter of desserts and you go immediately to the carrot cake, you're reaching. You're reaching for your pick. And I was very happy as the next general manager to make the selection that I had my choice.
Fantastic. So I'm glad that you guys had a lovely meal, and I'm glad that you guys are both on solid ground with regard to the relationship. That's positive.
Yeah. Do you want to, for those who didn't hear, should we replay what happened yesterday? Because it seems like some missed it. It seems like some people were. I was the biggest surprise of this whole thing, Waddle, was I was surprised that Carmen and Yurko got called out by listeners for replaying this morning. Did you hear that?
I did not. So they were the douches because they actually brought attention to it again.
They did Who's the Douche, and the selections, of course, was Who's the Douche? Is it me for going on the radio and telling this story, or was it my wife for pooping in the bed?
Can yes be the answer to both?
Who's the poop is the answer.
Yeah.
And then people ended up going off the board, and they started calling in and saying, guys, you guys are the douches. Like, Sylvie Fine is the douche, but you guys are the douches for replaying it. And you know how I feel about audio once it happens on ESPN.
It's live. It's for everybody, yeah. I mean, if they feel that way, you're the double douche because you're going to bring it back again.
It's already a promo.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And that will be bad because it will come up now a week later where someone will hear it for the first time and they'll probably text my wife like they had never heard it before and she'll have to relive the embarrassment a week later.
Unbelievable.
So this is where it could flare up. Yeah, I mean, and again, I didn't, I don't blame Carmen and Yurko one bit. My rule is I feel like this. Anybody who says something on their radio show, on our station, it is free game for the rest of us to replay it.
Nothing gets embargoed here. Nothing. Nothing.
There's no banning of audio. You say something, no matter how embarrassing it ends up, whether it's a take, whether it's an embarrassing story, if you decide to tell it yourself and it's brought back, it's free game. I can't blame anybody. I can't blame Carmen and Yurko for replaying it. It's their right.
Well, let's wind that thing back up again, then.
All right, so if you missed it, this was yesterday. I offered the story. It first came up by a story in Milwaukee here because Waddle, in a Waddle's World story, told about a house that's for sale that has four toilets in the bathroom with no dividers. They have three bathrooms in the house, but one of the single bathrooms has four toilets all lined up next to each other. And then we just got into a whole bathroom conversation, and then I veered into, hey, you'll never guess what happened last night after the Bulls game. And this is the story that I told. We own, I don't know how many sheets, maybe four or five different bed sheets, right? And I do know that we have one faulty bed sheet that has been ripped recently. And the rip, of course, is always lined up on my side of the bed.
As it should be.
Where my feet are, all right? So this...
Cut your toenails.
This is, you would think, we have had discussions, let's take it out of the rotation and throw it away and buy a new sheet.
You have a sheet rotation.
We rotate like volleyball players. You know, you every couple of weeks, how often do you clean your sheets?
I could call my wife and ask her.
Once a week, once every 2 weeks?
It depends on how sweaty I am.
I think we're like a once every 2 week.
Probably so.
Couple?
Yeah, probably once every 2 weeks.
It's a whole different story there. So I've had a good week of sleep, and the sheets have been comfortable and everything like that. I get in bed yesterday, and I'm fiddling around, getting adjusted. And sure enough, the heel of my foot feels the rip in the sheet. Now, me being an observant guy remembers this hasn't been the issue the last few days, and I know it wasn't sheet turnover day. I knew there wasn't like a changing of the sheet. And I said, what happened here? Why is this sheet on the bed?
When it's not the rotation day for this sheet.
Yes, I said, I don't remember this last night. I don't remember having this issue. This is right there by my foot. It's a rip in the sheet, and it's bothering me. Did you have the rip on your side, and did you adjust it? She starts laughing. She goes, I can't tell you. I go, you took the rip part of the sheet, and you put it on my bed.
That's a baller move right there.
And she said, I can't tell you. Got to the bottom of it. She gambled and lost in bed.
What?
And she did a quick sheet change to cover it up. and put the sheet in the washer.
Oh, you are getting papers, dude.
Wow.
You are
good
getting
luck.
She gambled and she lost while I was getting washed up before bed. In bed. Now, I have gambled and lost on a way to an appearance. I have gambled and lost on the way to our rehearsal dinner. I am proud to say I've never gambled and lost in bed. And then she tried to hide it, but she put on the bad sheet, and the rip was there. And I noticed there was something not right about the sheet. And it was because she pooped in bed. There you go. That was the story from yesterday. You didn't know where the story was going, did you?
I did not. Somebody asked me that earlier today. Did I know what the ultimate destination was on this conversation? And I said, absolutely not. I would have never guessed in a million years that at the end, somebody was going to be accused of pooping in bed.
Did Kara have a reaction? Did your wife have a reaction?
You know, we did not talk about it. I don't think she heard it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think she was, I don't know what she was doing. But she did not hear the story. And for, you know what, I really didn't even want to bring it up. I think it lived on its own yesterday. And I, you know, it was like, hey, I figured that if she didn't hear the story, why tell her? So that the next time that my wife sees your wife doesn't have to explain to my wife what the hell was going on and why someone pooped in someone's bed. I thought I was doing you a favor.
Gideon tweets the show and he says, I hope the surprise guest today at 5:30 is your wife. So you'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's a tease. We call it a tease, surprise. Gideon.
Yes. Gideon.
Gideon.
We have a surprise big name guest at 5:30 today who will be joining the show.
A lot going on today. We got Jay Cutler joining us at 3.
What's on your mind today?
Football. I mean, you call this the best week of the season. This is going to be glorious football.
Yes.
Like, we had a conversation in the room. You were busy creating a delay up there in Milwaukee in the studio, and we were actually discussing the show.
Leave me alone.
It takes a while for the radio signal to get to Milwaukee and back, all right? We'll fix it in the break. There's no need to air the dirty laundry right now.
Good thing we're plumbers, right?
We're like 45 seconds away from going to break, and you couldn't just let it go.
We pull the curtain back. Sylvie does it in his bedroom. I do it here.
You know what the solution is going to be? You drive your ass up to Milwaukee so there's no delay.
You want to know something? I actually thought about it this morning about, hey, why don't I just drive up there and do the show there and just drive back?
Isn't it the same distance?
Well, it's not quite, but I live closer to the Milwaukee or to the Wisconsin border than I do downtown Chicago. Like, it's 33 miles for me, about 30 miles from my house to downtown here.
This segment would have been a lot less awkward.
Oh, there's no doubt. There would be, like, you know, be some awkward moments, as there normally are from 2 to 6 here, and there would be some delays, but, like, not the audio delays. But we'll get it fixed. But anyway, the upstairs, there's angst. There's a lot of angst in our office right now that the Bears are going to get this wrong, and I get it.
Yeah,
I don't have a whole lot of confidence that they're going to get it right, but I'm saving my angst for the moment that they actually announce the hirings that everyone's going to be disappointed in.
Well, here's what my concern, and we could talk about this on the other side here, because my question for you guys is, are they paying for Bill Polian's search or are they paying for Bill Polian's Rolodex? And I think there's a difference. And I fear that all we're getting is Bill Polian's Rolodex. And we could discuss that coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, how are we now? Check 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
I think. It sounds okay, 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 okay. Hey, like throw it to break, Chris. We got to fix
Sylvie,
this.
Sylvie,
you there?
There?
All right, we'll go to break.
We should get this figured out.
Figured out.
Hello?
Figured out.
Big C?
First of all, you got to put your headset on instead of the one ear, the side straddle headset. You got to put it on both ears, mister.
I mean, 25 years I've been doing
this. I know. But, like, I can hear me because your headset's up so loud.
But better of all now, the people, though? Of all the
better
people.
Better now,
like,
now. Better now. Better now. Now. Poop in the bed.
When Chris and I plug in headphones after Vaughn and Sylvie for Bleck and Abdallah, Sylvie, by far, you are the deafest person at, or most deaf?
Guilty.
No, he's a rapper.
Most deaf. That sounds cool. Go with most deaf because it sounds cool.
Guilty.
You are by far the most deaf person.
But he's only, that sound's only getting in one ear, not both. That's
true. He's got to save the other one for when he loses hearing in that one.
Do you rotate?
He's going to have one of those big cones.
Yeah.
Talking to my good ear.
Is it possible to be like a left-handed or right-handed when it comes to ear use? Because I'm clearly...
Yeah, phrasing?
I think so. I think he's right.
So like, just like I bat lefty, I throw lefty, I use my left ear to hear. Like back in the day when we would use a real phone, I guess we still use.
What else can you do with that left ear?
But that handheld phone.
Do you ever take phone calls on the other ear and call it the stranger?
You should go home now because it ain't getting better than that, Abdallah.
Show yourself out. Show yourself out.
That was good. No, but don't you remember when you would talk on the phone back in the day and it wouldn't be on speaker. You would literally put your phone up to your ear. I would always do it lefty, and therefore on my headset, I listen through my left ear. You don't believe you're left-eared or right-eared?
I have the headset on over both of my ears right now, so I don't know if my hearing in my left ear is any better than the hearing in my right ear. Nor do I know whether or not my right eye is better with vision than my left eye.
Chris, you understood what I was saying, right? Yeah, you feel like you have a stronger ear?
Are you radio professionals?
I don't think I have a stronger ear, but I do believe what you're saying, that it is possible that one ear does hear at a higher frequency than the other. I think that is absolutely something people can have.
I've just used it more. I don't know.
You probably have less wax in the ear that's covered than the one that is uncovered.
I have I went for a hearing test recently, like a month ago.
What?
Yeah. I have more pressure in my right ear than my left ear. So
more pressure.
Yeah. So like when you pop your ears, it'll only like my right ear will only
We call that bong ear.
Well, it makes it feel like I have something in my right ear like 90% of the time.
Bong ear.
Bing bong ear.
It's going to be one of those shows again today.
Yeah, it's Friday, bro. It's Friday, and there's football coming on this weekend. I've already started to you know what my angst is? I'm saving my angst for the Bears hires. My angst is already, what are we going to do when the Super Bowl's over? Like, I had that thought this morning. What am I going to do when the Super Bowl's over?
This week, I've had that thought that we only have three more weeks of watching football.
Yeah.
We have this week, next week, and then 2 weeks after that. For the Super Bowl, and then it's done. And then what if baseball doesn't come back?
Oh, it won't. It won't. It's not coming back on time. But here's the silver lining. It may take a few years, but at some point, knowing the greed of the NFL owners, they will play a game every week throughout 52 weeks. There will be a 52-game season at some point.
They should do spring ball. If baseball doesn't go to spring training, the NFL should do spring ball college does.
You can't do spring
ball. Why? Do spring ball.
Because physically you can't handle it. The NFL, the average NFL career is less than 4 years to begin with. You add spring ball into it, won't have enough bodies.
Just do a bare spring game, right? Why not? Make some more money for everybody.
Yeah, I'm not interested in their Sunday games, much less their spring games now.
So you want my worry about Polian now?
I'm shocked that you have a worry, but yes, let's hear it.
All right, so we have Graziano, I believe, back at the shop. He printed this on ESPN Plus today in one of his articles when going around the league and what he's hearing, and he also spoke about it. Take a listen regarding Jim Caldwell.
Hot news or not news, Jim Caldwell turning down interviews with Raiders and the Vikings.
Yeah, I thought this was hot news. I heard about this the last couple days, that the Vikings and Raiders had actually called Jim Caldwell to interview for head coach, and he told them no thanks. That indicates strongly that he believes he's going to get one of these other open jobs, and we've heard him connected in Chicago and in Jacksonville. So those are two spots I'd watch for potentially Jim Caldwell getting a third run as an NFL head coach.
I'm not here to tell you that Jim Caldwell is going to be a terrible hire. I'm just wondering.
Got a nice resume.
I know. And Ryan McGuire, who's a Lions fan, still thinks that there's a ceiling there regarding postseason appearances. Here's my question, though, Waddle, and I believe there's a difference. You are supposed to be using Bill Polian to search, to go to the newest, best candidates, whether these guys are football lifers like Jim Caldwell or they're up-and-comers who need a first job and sort of need to be introduced to your front office in Ted Phillips and George McCaskey, who don't know anything. But it seems to me with Leslie Frazier, with Jim Caldwell, and with a couple of the other Indianapolis guys who he actually hired to be in the league first, that all we're really getting is his Rolodex. And it's like Ernie Accorsi did. Are we getting a man who's leading a 2022 search, or are we getting a man who simply is telling you, here are the phone numbers of the guys that I have liked and I have worked with?
You know, this falls into the same category of what I was calling earlier when they first announced. You remember the first name and the first name we heard attached to the Bears job? It was Les. It was Les Frazier. And I have nothing against Les. Wonderful guy. He's done a fantastic job as the defensive coordinator with the Bills. As we've highlighted in the past with the Vikings, he got to the postseason. They never solved the quarterback issue for him. And I think his tenure was like 3 years. I'm not degrading the Les Frazier hire if it happens. What I am against is the comfortable hire. Is it just because it's comfortable? Whether that's for the Bears and George McCaskey and Ted Phillips, that was my concern before Bill Polian was even part of the equation, as far as we knew. Don't hire somebody who makes you warm and fuzzy inside the building. Hire the right guy.
Those names make Bill Polian warm and fuzzy.
That's my point. Is he
open-minded to newer names? To guys that he hasn't worked for?
That's my point with regard to the comfortable hire. Whether it was prior to knowing Bill Polian was involved, the guys that made George and Ted feel warm and fuzzy. I don't want the same approach from Bill, who is obviously a Hall of Famer and has a tremendous resume. I can't imagine that he would hire or tell them to hire someone he's comfortable with, but there's no question he has existing relationships with people, and I can't imagine that he has the same type of connection to a Byron Leftwich or some of the other candidates that he does with some of the old guys.
But that's the point, Waddle. He's not supposed to have a connection. He's supposed to lead a search. Like, is this all a charade? Is 25 names that are out there that they're talking to all a giant charade simply to go back to the guys he knows in Les Frazier and Jim Caldwell?
What I was getting to basically was that I'm agreeing with your premise that the concern is there that you are just, again, relying on what's comfortable and what you know versus actually going out there and investigating things that you don't know or that you may not be as comfortable with. And that would be my concern with this entire process.
And that's all I'm worried about. I mean, like, what are we doing here? We already got two guys in the front office who don't know what they're doing. And if we're just introducing people to the good old boy network of who guys have previously worked with, that's exactly what Ernie Accorsi did.
Yeah.
With Ryan Pace and John Fox, it's exactly what he did.
It's a very fair concern, and I share it. Like I said, from the very beginning, my concern was I don't want them to hire what makes them comfortable. I want them to make the right hire. With that in mind, like, I'm still not ruling out Brian Daboll. Like, I'm not going to jump to the conclusion. You know, the crumbs are leading us maybe to this conclusion. I won't deny that. But until the announcement is made, I'm going to save a few of my angst-ridden moments until then.
Yeah, no, I get it. And we'll see, because Shane was just hired in New York. He's the guy from the Bills. Is it Joe Shane? Is that his?
Joe Shane.
So Joe Shane was just hired by the Giants. He comes from Buffalo. He was on the Bears list. I believe he had already interviewed with the Bears as well. And like, I hear the two names that we're hearing is Brian Daboll, because of his connection with Buffalo, And we're also hearing Brian Flores with him, correct?
Right. I hear Brian Flores attached. Brian Flores is from the Bronx, very well thought of around the league as well, as we've said. I would say this too, like, again, this is what we do. We're connecting dots. We're trying to read tea leaves. We're trying to do all this stuff. I get it that there's a connection with Shane and the Bills and Brian Daboll. But if Brian Daboll is going to stake his reputation and his future on a certain team, he's going to do that based where he thinks he can win. Maybe Brian Daboll looks at that situation and says, yeah, Joe Shane's, I'm comfortable with him. I've worked with him. I really like him. But I like Justin Fields more than I like Danny Dimes. I like the Bears situation more than I like the Giants situation. So I'm not going to connect those dots maybe as quickly as others, because I think someone like Daboll is going to have his opportunity to have his say. And he's not just going to have one opportunity, in my opinion. So it's not, hey, I'm going to take the Giants because I'm comfortable with Joe Shane. Maybe I think the Bears are a better situation, so I wouldn't rule him out.
All right, and then we're hearing that Dennis Allen, a name that was brought up recently. I drafted him last in our fantasy draft. Dennis Allen is the defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints. He's been very good for them. He was a previous head coach of the Raiders. And a lot of people think a second time around for him could be good. So they're adding a name. And who knows about Harbaugh? That's still the wild card, don't you think, in all this?
Yeah.
That we still haven't heard anything one way or another.
No, that's what I mean. Like, I'm going to wait until I absolutely get pissed off and my head pops open and my brain falls out. I'm going to wait for that moment. I'm not going to expend that energy at this moment.
Yeah, I'm not panicking. I'm just saying.
No, it was the topic of our pre-show fistfight. It was. There's a lot of angst in the room, and I get it. I'm not denying that there should be angst. I just only have so much angst left in me after that crappy season, so I'm going to save it and let it erupt if it's necessary later.
Like, do you really have to do a search if you're just going to land on guys that Polian already knows and believes in? That's my only question. So let's preview some of these playoff games. And the Packers play this weekend. It's Packers and Niners, and Aaron Rodgers' future, not only for another Super Bowl, is up in the air, but for the foreseeable future in general in the NFC North. We will talk to our buddy Jason Wilde about all of that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle's in the First Midwest Bank studio. You can watch him on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. It was a nice day to drive up to Milwaukee. Hour door-to-door, Waddle. Very easy.
Sun's out, yeah.
I mean, Sun's out, yeah. It's a great day.
It's an easy drive regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a bad day to drive to Milwaukee?
If it's snowing, if it's icy. You know what I mean? Like, it was a good. It was just a good driving day.
Good.
I was very happy, and can't wait to go to the game.
You do sound like you have a bit of a party voice today. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I was out last night.
No, I know.
Doing some eating and drinking. Yeah. We had a good time. All right, let's. Wilde does the show here from ESPN Milwaukee, I believe.
Did he hang around to do it in person with you?
I don't think so. No. Wilde joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Did you not want to join me in the studio today?
You know, first of all, you know I love you guys, and I think the world of you, and a great opportunity for me to reiterate what an incredible job you and the rest of our ESPN 1000 team did in honoring Jeff Dickerson. So bravo to you guys. I'm so proud of you. The problem with your theory is that if you thought you were going to do a show from where I do the show, you would have had to come to my basement, because I have a studio in my basement in Green Bay, and I do the show from there every day. So I would never, if I was going to be in the same place that you were going to be, I would never leave early. Unless, of course, one of our girls has a gymnastics meet, which is what I'm on my way to right now.
Oh, nice.
That I believe you.
What is your what is the specialty? What is your daughter's gymnastics specialty?
So Waddle, as a father yourself, yes. And obviously we're all dads on this. This is a bit of a quandary for me. I'm doing a lot of driving because Madison, who's our oldest, competes here in about 20 minutes. I just drove down from Green Bay. Paula took them early. And tomorrow, she also has three basketball games after her gymnastics meet. Wow. And oh, by the way, I have to go cover an NFL playoff game.
Yeah.
So it's going to be quite an interesting day tomorrow. And you guys, I think you know me well enough to know which sporting event matters the most to me. It is not the one that is at 7:15 at Lambeau Field.
Amen. What is it like to get ready for an NFL playoff game in your town? Because we really
forget.
We miss it.
Well, you guys hire Elliot Wolf, and you'll be experiencing it again.
Ooh, is that an endorsement?
Yeah, that is definitely an endorsement of Elliot. I would say this, that last year was weird, right? Because they had 7,800 fans in the stands. It just wasn't the same. They obviously had all kinds of issues early in the game and then late in the game against Tampa Bay. That's the last playoff game they played, obviously. In there, I am very eager to see what a 7:15 Saturday night playoff game looks like, even amid COVID, because the most memorable playoff games that I've covered have been primetime games at Lambeau Field, and it is the place to be. I don't know what people are selling their tickets for on the secondary market, but to me, those kinds of games are priceless if you're a Packers fan.
Jason, does the outcome of tonight's game, in your opinion, have any impact on the future of Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I really do. I do believe that. Now, there are all kinds of different theories, and I'll be honest with you. You know, you guys know I've known him pretty well for a long time. I have not talked to him beyond our Zoom calls with him in a couple of months. I haven't really texted with him either. I've kind of let him be. Because he's been on, you know, I don't know if you guys read this ESPN story today. But,
saw that today, you know, yeah.
He's kind of in an interesting place. So there are those that have the theory that this is all a little bit of window dressing in terms of what the future is, that it's already been decided. He's already ready to move on to whatever the next challenge is. I can see that theory. I think listening to him talk about his team, talk about what this season has meant, in combination with what last season has meant, the problem is I don't know what increases his chances of coming back. Does winning the Super Bowl and wanting to run it back increase those chances, or does getting to the Super Bowl and losing increase his chances of coming back, or does coming back become more likely if he falls short of getting to the Super Bowl? Like, I don't know what it is, but I do think that something in this postseason will definitely influence what ends up happening.
I'm glad you cited the article on ESPN.com. The headline is "The Unfiltered Year of Aaron Rodgers," and he did a long interview with ESPN as well. We see it weekly, nationally as well. He's been the topic here because of Hub Arkish too. So that was very interesting. And you've interviewed him in multiple years. You used to do the show with him, Jason. What do you believe, if at all, the biggest change has been motivated by?
Yeah, that is something that I've been trying to figure out, because I will say this. I think it's great if you want, whoever you are, I think that's who you should be. I do think that his, you know, I think he had a recommendation for a book a couple of weeks ago with Pat McAfee, The Art of Not Giving a Blank. And I think you can both have that attitude and also still be kind of the guy you are at your core of being, you know, like, I believe he's a guy that has cared about a lot of people for a lot of years. And whether that's his teammates, whether that's his coaches, whether that's the guy that handles him in the PR department, whoever it is. And so I do think that watching him from somewhat afar, unlike in other years, it does seem like it's become a little more of, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and I'm not going to apologize for it, which is the theme of the article. But I think you can be that and still care about other people. And I think he definitely cares deeply about his coaches and about his players, his teammates. And I guess that's all that really matters. But I am very eager to see where this path takes him, because he claims this is going to be a fast decision, whatever it is, after the season ends, which could end as soon as tomorrow night. I really want to know what it's going to look like for him to make that decision quickly and what that decision is going to be.
He was the NFL MVP last year. His numbers were a little gaudier. I think he had 48 touchdown passes. I think this year he has distanced himself from the other quarterbacks in the league more so this year than he even did last year. Is he playing his best football, and do you expect that to be good enough to get past this 49ers team?
I do. I do think he's played his best football, and you know, I don't know Hub very well. I thought that was actually probably a good thing that stuff came out, because I think, for me anyway, I'm not one of the 50 voters. But one of my concerns was that people would base their vote on something other than his performance, because he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And it's our job to not allow that to happen, in my opinion. So I'm glad. It was almost as if we were immunized from that idea by making a comment that he made. I think he's been great. Like, I think his accuracy has been off the charts, better than it even was last year. I think he's made even better decisions than he made last year. Obviously, he had a tough start to the season. I think he has been a virtuoso. The way he has orchestrated their offense has been even better than last season. I think that the other part of it is, with that toe injury, it forced him to play even more within the constraints of the offense. And I keep going back to this, and I know Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan, no matter what they say, are not as buddy-buddy as they once were, because they believe that Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers tampered with their quarterback. But the fact that both of his closest friends, one through proper channels in Sean McVay, and one through not-so-proper channels, according to the Packers, in the 49ers, both wanted Aaron Rodgers to run their version of the same offense, tells you that those two guys understand that no matter how well designed this offense is, it's very different when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback running it.
Yeah, Wilde, before we get your prediction really quick, I want to circle back to Elliott Wolf for our selfish reasons, as he's a general manager candidate. Bill Polian's running the show here. And look, tell me about Elliott Wolf, because in Chicago we know about sons who have run teams here. Scotty Bowman is a legendary figure in hockey. Stan Bowman is no Scotty. You know, we've got a family full of McCaskies who are the grandkids of George Halas.
Right.
And, oh, boy, that apple falls way, way, way far from the tree. So besides knowing that Elliott Wolf is Ron Wolf's son, what makes him great?
So, first of all, you will never hear me say a crossword, at least about Virginia McCaskey, who, when I went to the NFL meetings and Paula and I had a 9-week-old Madison, she took Madison and held her so we could both eat, which was amazing. I think Maddie will probably end up being a Bears fan as a result, and I wish her luck. Look, I think one of the most important things, and probably the main reason why Elliott did not get the job over Brian Gutekunst here, is because he did not have as extensive of experience in the college scouting game. He had been a pro side guy the whole time. And so I think that was their feeling, was that he needed more of that. You know, him going to New England, he spent a little bit of time in a couple other places after he didn't get the Packers job. I think that's been great for his development as an evaluator. But he's a really sharp guy, and I don't think it's just his last name. It certainly opened doors initially for him, but the way he moved up as a lieutenant under Ted Thompson, you know, the Packers, frankly, have kind of alienated Ron Wolf. And I don't think he's particularly close to the organization that he resuscitated. So Elliott has done a lot as a self-made man. Yes, his name certainly opened doors, but I have a ton of respect for him. We used to talk ball all the time, and he is really sharp when it comes to evaluating players. And he was one of the people that were way ahead of the curve on the guy that ended up being a Hall of Famer. One of the first reports that he had to write about was Aaron Rodgers. And it was, you know, he was right about him, and a lot of other people weren't.
Packers win?
I do think that, but I think it comes down to just how wide the chasm is going to be at quarterback. I mean, it should be wide, right? I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo has some limitations, hasn't played in cold weather. He's got an injured shoulder. He's got an injured thumb. And Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. But you look at Aaron Rodgers in the postseason, he ain't been that great in recent years. And so if that chasm isn't wide, then I think there's a way that the 49ers win this game. I really do.
Good luck to your daughter this weekend.
Yes. Get 10s. Perfect 10s.
I appreciate you guys. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
There you go. Thanks, Jason Wilde, ESPN Milwaukee, though he broadcasts from his basement in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Did you know that? I did not.
So
let's follow that up, Waddle. I want to get your thoughts on what he had to say about Elliot Wolf, who is a candidate for the Bears general manager's job. The GM job is sort of taking a back seat to all the headlines the coaches are getting, and I want to see if you have a strong feeling on the Packers and 49ers either way as we start diving into these games. And Jay Cutler will join us at 3.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, what do you want to take a swing at first, Waddle? His thoughts on Elliot Wolf or his thoughts on the game?
Let's go. I don't know a whole lot about Elliot Wolf, so I'm more comfortable talking about his thoughts on the game.
Strong endorsement, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, I trust the thoughts and opinions of people that I trust, if that makes sense. I know that's redundant, but, like, if this was just somebody I didn't know very well, and Jason and I don't vacation together, but I feel like we know Jason, and we built a relationship with Wilde, and if Wilde says, hey, guys, this is a qualified guy, then I'm all on board with his recommendation. Obviously comes from a good lineage, as they say. His dad was incredible. And if one of the highlights of his young career was the report that he presented on Aaron Rodgers coming out of Cal, he gets thumbs up for that as well.
Darren tweets the show, and he said, and you've wanted to know, you've created a monster in Dodds. Who dropped out, the Colts guy.
Yeah, I just want to know.
And, you know, you wanted to know how he flubbed the interview or if he went in guns blazing. Darren says, Dodds probably got wind of the preferences. I thought this has been a PR charade. You know, you just wonder, because of all these names from the general manager standpoint, sort of playing second fiddle, they're moving along quickly with these head coaching interviews. They're still not even finished with the general manager interviews. They're moving on to second interviews with head coaches. Like, are they trying to do this arranged marriage with a Jim Caldwell or someone else who they like with a general manager, and that a general manager may not like that?
Yeah, I have two thoughts on that. The first is how the hell would we know? Every story that came out about the Bears over the calendar 2021 season was debunked. Like, there is no – George right. doesn't have somebody that he talks to. Ted doesn't have somebody that he talks to. You probably have the best resource of all, the guy that does the Bears blog, right?
Right.
I mean, he's got the good information. It's not like that there are people in the building that have guys. These guys don't have guys.
I know, but Waddle, when you open up to not hiring a general manager and possibly hiring a coach before the most powerful man in the organization.
But I don't know that.
You don't know it, but you open yourself up to that possibility.
Okay.
You know, they don't get the benefit of the doubt.
They don't get the benefit of the doubt on anything. But by the same token, I'm not going to come to the conclusion that they're going to hire the coach first. They may have gone a long way towards, they may be further along hiring a general manager than a coach. I don't know. Because nobody's got a guy. Like, I don't know that to be true.
Did you see, the Vikings are interviewing a second time around these, like, they're moving on the GMs. And just like again, I'm not telling you got to do your search like the Giants or the Vikings. But the Vikings are, like, Pelissero earlier said that, you know, the Vikings are moving into second interview phases with some of these GM candidates.
I wouldn't be shocked either if some of the stuff that Bill Polian, an old Hall of Famer, is doing is under the radar.
I don't know.
That's my point. I'm not trying to serve as a mouthpiece for the team and say, hey, guys, I'm going to pat you on the head and pat you on the back. Everything's going to be just fine. No. You know how I feel. I thought they were a year late in firing the coach and the general manager. Now they find themselves in a heap of trouble because they didn't do that. I'm just telling you, I'm going to save my angst until it's time to deliver it. I just don't. Because the coaches are sexier anyway. Everyone knows the coaches' names. Nobody knows the GM's name. So the guys you and I and everyone else are going to talk about and tweet about And the guys that are getting all the attention are the coaches. It's going to be Les Frazier and Jim Caldwell and Brian Daboll. Nobody knows how. I know Ed Dodd's name just because we were having fun with it. Like, I would have no idea. Maybe Bill Polian has had more than one interview with a couple of the general managers, but no one wants to talk about it because nobody recognizes their names. I just can't come to that conclusion. So.
I don't know. The reporters have been pretty on top of this stuff. Like
Potsy told us yesterday, not a shot at Potsy. He has no idea, and I don't blame him. I don't have any idea either.
I know, but Pelissero tweets out that the Vikings are on to second interviews with Ryan Poles from Kansas City, someone on the Bears list, and Kwesi Adolfo-Mensa from the Browns.
Okay, and that's valid. I'm not trying to dispute what you're saying. But
I'm
then,
just saying that they
I
are
know,
being
you,
publicized.
You just put that card on
happening.
The table, and I'm going to trump your card with, look at the last three coaches the Giants have hired.
No, I know. This was the Vikings.
I get it.
I prefaced everything by saying the Bears shouldn't conduct their search
right.
based on what the Giants and the Vikings do.
But
I know Abdallah's a little more concerned. We had a conversation in the car where Abdallah thinks you do have to speed this up if you really like a guy. But again, Ryan Pace sped it up because he really liked Mitch Trubisky. And again, it doesn't mean it's the right guy.
Listen, we are angst-ridden because they have forced us to be angst-ridden. We feel the way we do because as fans of this franchise, we have been dealt a hand of poop. So, like, this is why I think there is as much angst as there is. It's legitimate to feel this way. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. I'm just trying to tell you, is to reserve, get a little extra angst in your tank, okay? Hit the reserve, leave a little bit in there so that you can unload it when it's time to unload it. Because if you prematurely unload your angst and then they get the quarterback and the GM that you're like, hey, that's not bad, then you've been angst-ridden for no reason.
There will be no premature angstulation.
It sounds like there is.
332-3776. These are the Bears, man.
That's my point.
Yeah, I live in the
You got plenty of time to unload your angst. There's no reason to let it fly early.
I know we got some calls we got to take. All right, let's take some calls. And 332-3776. I do want to get to these games, too. They're so good. I'm in Milwaukee for the Bulls game. We'll have some Bulls conversation as well. We're back in 2 short minutes to do it all.